Tonight, God's Word comes to us from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to begin reading at verse 12 and then read through the end of this chapter. 1 Corinthians 6, beginning at verse 12, what we hear now is God's Word. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be enslaved by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food. And God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord, and will also raise us up by His power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never! Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For, as is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body. But the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Hear we in the reading of God's holy word. Tonight we come to the end of the second section of Paul's letter to the church at Corinth. That first section, chapters 1 through 4, and the second section, chapters 5 and 6, where Paul gives a correction to them for matters that he has heard about. Reports have come to the Apostle Paul, and he wants to correct this church and once again set them on the right path. We talked about the problem in chapter 5 of tolerance in the church. An ungodly tolerance of sin and boasting about it. We talked last time in the beginning of chapter 6 about lawsuits and disputes among believers. And Paul says, this should not be. Rather, you should show love for each other. Tonight we come to the last of these reports that Paul has heard. Reports about sexual immorality in the church. And I have to confess, I would rather skip this text tonight. I would rather believe that we are so sanctified through and through that this type of instruction not be necessary for us. But we may not be naive. We may not believe that for those in whom the Spirit of God dwells, they will never fall into sexual sin. So we need to be encouraged once again and directed on the right path. We are not immune from the sins of the flesh, as the Corinthians were not immune. And Paul found it important and God found it necessary that these words be given to us, to the church today, to warn us about immorality in the church and to call us to a life of holiness. Holiness in our bodies, holiness in our relationships. Paul begins by this quotation. All things are lawful for me. And then again, all things are lawful for me. They were giving an excuse for why sexual immorality was okay. And so he's heard them using this quotation, all things are lawful for me. And very likely, that quotation came from Paul himself. He told the church all things were lawful for them. But what he meant by that was against the background of Jewish legalism. In Judaism, religion was a matter of law, right and wrong. And if you did these laws, you were okay. But when Christ came, we were freed from the slavery to the ceremonial law. No longer matters of clean and unclean, washings and not washings, proper and improper. But all things are lawful for the believer. We are free in Christ. But what happened is the Corinthians had taken that freedom and changed it into license for sin. We might modernize this phrase, all things are lawful for me, with the phrase, we are free from the law. Maybe you've heard that phrase. A twist on an old Philip Bliss song, free from the law, O happy condition, now I can sin without any contrition. A misunderstanding of our freedom. Certainly we are free from the curse and from the penalty of the law, but we are not free from the law itself. It is still our guide in life. It is still the path of holiness. It is still the path of righteousness. They were giving this excuse, all things are lawful. You said that, Paul. And so Paul responds, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. Paul says, do those things which will build you up in the Lord. Do those things that will strengthen your walk with God. Not those acts of immorality that will take you away from the Lord God. All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. Not all things build up. All things are lawful, but I will not be enslaved by anything. And we talked about this, I know, not so long ago, about sin as slavery. But it's important to remind ourselves of that. Sin is slavery. That which entices us, that which tempts us, becomes our master. Paul says, all things are lawful, but I will not be enslaved by anything. Sin and the devil are a harsh master, and one that drives us deeper and deeper into sin. Paul says, I will not be enslaved by anything. Then there's the other quote that they used. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food. What is the sense of that quotation? Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food. We might paraphrase that today with the words, it's just natural. They were trying to excuse their immorality by saying it's just natural. Having sexual relations with anyone is just natural. It's like eating food for the stomach and the stomach for food. It's all the same. It's a natural act. And we are not immune from that thinking today. That sexual relations are simply a natural act. So why would we limit ourselves to one man or one woman? It's just natural. It's the way God made us. Paul reminds them, yes, food for the stomach for food, but the body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. The body is not meant for sexual immorality. It is not meant for the basest of our desires. But we are meant for the Lord. Meant to serve Him. Meant to follow after Him. Meant to follow His instructions in our lives, in our relationships, in our sexual contacts. And we have to hear that once again. The body is meant for the Lord. Our children, our young people need to hear that again. You, covenant youth, are meant for the Lord. You are not meant for sexual immorality. You are not meant for debauchery.
but you are meant for the Lord. Purity, holy living, righteousness. And that is a commitment that we make now. The commitment to purity, the commitment to holiness. It is made now when we are thinking clearly and rationally. It is not made in the heat of the moment. But now we commit ourselves as young people, as children, as adults, to holiness, to purity in our relationships with each other. You were not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Paul says, no excuses. Don't quote, all things are lawful for me. Don't quote, free from the law, O happy condition. Don't say, it's only natural. You were meant for the Lord. He goes on to remind them of the true nature of that relationship with God. Verse 15. Do you not know? Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I take the members of Christ and make them members with a prostitute? Never. Don't you remember? You're a member of Christ. You belong to His body. The one who is perfect, the one who is righteous, the one who is holy, and you belong to Him. Our true significance is not found in who we are, but in whose we are. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? And if we need any motivation for holiness, that is what it is. We belong to Christ. We are members of His. And Paul says we are to be members of His exclusively. Shall I take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. He says that which belongs to Christ, that which is holy, that which is declared to be righteous in Jesus Christ, is never to be connected with a prostitute. We think here of the temple prostitutes, those who were the idolaters, those who followed false religion. Paul says, do we put these things together? No, never. May it never be. We are called to holiness and exclusive devotion to Jesus Christ. Holiness in our relationships. I know that this text applies to all of us, but I can't help but think it applies particularly to those in dating relationships, to those who are considering whom they might marry someday, to those who wonder what standards should we set for our dating. Well, I can tell you, God has set standards for you. God has told you very, very clearly and without equivocation, a believer and an unbeliever may not be joined together. It doesn't matter how beautiful they are. It doesn't matter how wonderful they make you feel. It doesn't matter how much they care for you. We do not take the members of Christ and make them members with the prostitute, with an unbeliever. Never, Paul says. Seems like I've been doing a lot of premarital counseling lately. Maybe it's that time of year, I'm not sure. But one of the questions that I ask that sometimes surprises the counselees is I ask them point blank, are you a believer? And then I'll ask the other one, are you a believer? And they must give the same answer. Because I tell them, if one of you is a believer and one of you is an unbeliever, I may not marry you, and you may not get married. We don't take the members of Christ and unite them with the members of a prostitute. But some might say, but what about evangelism?
Maybe God has placed this young man, maybe He has placed this young woman in my life so that I can evangelize them. Maybe God is bringing us into an intimate relationship so I can be a witness to them. Evangelism is good. Evangelism needs to go on. We must tell others the glorious truths that we know of Jesus Christ and salvation. But make no mistake, evangelism is evangelism, and dating is dating. And the two may not be mixed. We do one, or we do the other. But we don't confuse them and become entangled in a relationship that perhaps, if in God's providence, this person does not become a believer, that now we find ourselves being united with someone who's an unbeliever. Evangelism is good. It is right. It is proper. It's a command. But it is not something that we do as we date. Paul says, "Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one in spirit with Him." He who is joined to the Lord becomes one in spirit with Him. That's our true relationship. That's the first and primary relationship. We have been joined to the Lord Jesus Christ. And out of that will flow all of the decisions that we make. It will move us to holiness in our relationships. It will move us to holiness in every part of our lives. Holiness in our relationships with those around us. Holiness with those we date. Holiness in our marriages. Holiness with our children. The one who is joined to the Lord becomes one with Him in spirit. What a blessing for the child of God. Why would we ever, Paul says, why would we ever take one who is joined to Christ and join with a prostitute? May it never be, God forbid, he says. Paul goes on to finish by giving them God's standards for their relationship, God's standards for their lives. And he says very clearly, verse 18, flee from sexual immorality. Simple. Paul says, flee from sexual immorality. Don't be in a place where you will be tempted to sin. But rather flee from that place. Flee from that situation. Don't stay there, but get out. We've talked before about the story of Joseph. Joseph, who lived what it meant to flee sexual immorality. Joseph, who was sold into slavery a number of times, eventually comes to Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife takes a liking to Joseph and tries to get Joseph to sin with her. And Joseph did not say, you know what, maybe I should evangelize her. Maybe this is a good time to share the gospel. He didn't say that. Joseph did not say, You know, God is a God of providence, and He has so orchestrated all things that I'm in this situation right now. Maybe it's okay just this once. He does not try to rationalize the sin. But his response is, how can I sin against God? And he flees, even leaving his cloak behind. Flee sexual immorality in our dating life. Don't put yourself in a situation where you will be overwhelmed with temptation. Flee that, Paul says. And if you do find yourself there, don't rationalize it, but get out. Flee sexual immorality. In our married life, do not go beyond the bonds of our marriage relationship.
In every part of our thinking life in terms of sexuality, do not go to places where we're going to be tempted. Flee those places. If particular books or magazines are a stumbling block to us, then don't go in those stores where they're going to be. If particular movies might lead us into sin, then don't go in that section at the video store. Don't even go there. Flee from that. If certain internet sites are going to lead us into sexual sin, then turn off the computer. Flee from sexual immorality. That's God's standard. Do not make peace with sin. Flee from sin. He says, every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Glorify God in your body. Paul is a masterful teacher. He not only corrects them, telling them what to avoid, flee immorality, but he instructs them on what they are to do, positively. Glorify God with your body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? The Spirit of God dwells in us. Let that Spirit live itself out. Let that Spirit guide and direct our choices, our actions, our decisions. Glorify God in your bodies, Paul says. And he also reminds us why we can do that. He says, for you are not your own, but you were bought with a price. You were not your own, you were bought. You have been saved, Paul says. He reminds them of the glory of the gospel. That in spite of the Corinthian culture in which they lived, a culture of depravity, a culture of immorality, a culture very much like the culture today, that they had been bought, that a price had been paid, and they now belonged to someone else. They belonged to God. The wonderful words of the forgiveness of our sins through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. And Paul would have us remember that too tonight. That Christ does forgive all our sins. Forgiveness even of sexual sin. If tonight this topic makes you uncomfortable, if it is poking at your conscience for relationships you have been in or are in now, let me remind you, every sin can be forgiven. Sexual sin is not beyond the blood of Jesus Christ. And if that is where you are tonight, God calls you to confess that sin, to turn from that sin, and to glorify God in your body. The scars of sexual sin may remain scars in our bodies or scars in our spirits, but the sin itself can be forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Paul gives this instruction to the church. He's not speaking to the world out there, but he gives this instruction to the church. Pursue holiness. Pursue righteousness. Pursue God's standards in your relationships. Don't simply say all things are lawful for me. Don't simply say it's only natural. But follow after God. You are members of Christ. You've been united with Him, becoming one spirit with Him.
Flee from sexual immorality. Flee from the sin that so easily entangles.
And glorify God. Glorify God with your body, in your relationships with your boyfriend or girlfriend or husband and wife. Glorify God and follow His path of righteousness. May God give us His grace to heed His word. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, we praise You for the word You've given to us. We know it was a word for the church so many years ago. We know it is a word for our church today. Help us, O God, to pursue holiness, to seek after You. For You are the God who is holy and who calls us to be holy. Lord God, if we have unconfessed and unrepented sexual sin in our lives, tonight, may we confess that and know the freedom of Jesus Christ. Remove the bondage, O God. Remove the slavery. Let us enjoy the freedom of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And help us then, by the power of Your Spirit, not to go where sin abounds, but to follow after You and to walk in Your ways. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.